Sunday the 29th of December 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, A Star is Born. Sermon title, A Light to Reveal. Bible reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. Talk by Neil Wellesby.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Luke 2, verse 22 to 32. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Sovereign Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was fine with the Christmas story, and I was saying to Christine last week, it's as if everything happens in 24 hours. But actually, that's not the reality of it at all. We've moved forward from the Christmas birth narrative by two verses in Luke. But actually, if we were following a timeline, we've jumped forward 40 days. So if we're doing it on our calendar, we're now sometime in February. That's the reality of where we've gone. And that's interesting in a sense, because obviously it means that Mary and Joseph were still in Bethlehem. We're 40 days on. We've moved on in that particular time. It really is one of those difficulties. You know, you think about the reality. And if we look at the nativity scene behind me, we've got the wise men in there. Well, you know, the wise men, they don't appear maybe months, possibly even years afterwards. When Herod decided he was getting rid of all the infants in Bethlehem, he sent any child up to the age of two. So potentially up to the age of two. That's a big time span where Mary and Joseph were actually in Bethlehem. They hadn't actually gone anywhere. They'd stayed. They were there. But what we're thinking about today is a really, really important meeting. A really important meeting. We got to the point 40 days on, and they'd made the 5-mile journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Yeah, it's only 5 miles, it's not very far. Yeah. So just the other side of Ilford. It's not very far at all. A couple of hours, and they were there in the temple. And they met a guy called Simeon, a guy who was devout, who was really focused on serving the Lord. He doesn't tell us how old he was. We've no idea about that. But it's this devout guy. And he comes out with some amazing words. He says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Wow. The Latin for that, it's called the Nunc Dimittis. It's one of three canticles that appear in the first two chapters of Luke. Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's dad, came out with the first of these. It's called the Benedictus in Latin. Praising God. And then we have the Magnificat, Mary's praise when she discovers she's the handmaiden of the Lord. And now finally we end up with the Nunc Dimittis. The Latin phrases are just picking up the first words of what's there in the hymn. You may now dismiss your servant, Lord, in peace. Simeon had been given this promise from God that he would see his salvation before he died. And that moment had arrived. Wow, to be in such a moment. To stand there and a promise of God had opened up right before him. And he held the Christ child in his arms. My eyes have seen your salvation. How did he come to be there? Well, what it tells us was that in verse 25, the Holy Spirit was on him. He'd been brought to that point. He'd felt stirred in his soul to be there. And God had brought him to that particular point because he had made him a promise. Have you got a promise of God on your life? Do you know what God wants of you? Simeon certainly did. And he was there. And he met with them. He could have been in the court of the Gentiles. It could have been in the court of the women. It certainly would not have been in the court of the men because Mary wasn't allowed in there. But they were there at the pinnacle of the Jewish faith, in the temple, in the very presence of God. And they were meeting together. Why were Mary and Joseph there? Well, because they had specific obligations. Verse 22, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So there's two things there. One was Mary needed to be purified. But secondly, there was the presentation of the firstborn son. And there might well have been a third thing there. The same as Hannah had done with Samuel all those centuries before. Dedicating her child to the Lord. Hannah had taken Samuel to Shiloh, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was, because she'd made herself a promise to God that she would dedicate this child to the Lord. And when she did take that child to dedicate him to the Lord, she left him. She only ever saw him once a year when she went back. Not quite what happened to Jesus, but that whole concept of him being dedicated to God and what God wanted for him in his life. There was obviously something so special about him. Joseph had recognized it. Mary had recognized it. And particularly in the Magnificat, the whole idea is there as to what God wanted for this child. But the reality is that those are things that don't, in a sense, apply to us. They're Old Testament bits. They're bits that are there. We're not required to make sacrifice. Why not? Because Jesus was the final sacrifice. So those sorts of verses will move past quickly. But there is something that's fundamental in the issue of uncleanliness and sacrifices that we shouldn't miss out on. And of course, when we come to communion in a short while, we will obviously have a time of confession, a time where we've got to be thinking about approaching God, preparing ourselves in body, mind, and spirit to draw near to God. And one of the things that Jesus did when he died for us on the cross is make that permanent cleansing available to us so that we can boldly approach God's throne. But there should be that caution and sense of sacredness. They're there in the verses that we've just been reading. We should think about our approach to God. We should not be lost. This whole idea of proper presentation and preparedness and coming into the very presence of a holy God. But as we unpack the Nunc Dimittis a bit further, we come to the last line. And the last line focuses on this whole concept of who this baby was to be. He is to be a light for salvation of the Gentiles. He is to be glory to your people Israel. Revelation to the Gentiles, for they will be brought into blessing through his ministry in a way that could hardly be imagined before his coming. And it's spelt out for us in John's Gospel in the first chapter. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And of course we heard that and we hear that in the carol service. Often it's at the final reading in carol services. Because that profound theological statements that John brings out, that amazing truth that in that tiny baby came Emmanuel, God with us, a light to the world that we're a part of. And it wasn't just about it being for the Jews. Yes, they were to be the glory to Israel, because Jesus was a Jew. It's amazing how many times when I was teaching, I had to actually remind the kids that actually Jesus was a Jew. It's something that people seem to forget. They just think, oh, he's a Christian. No. Jesus was never a Christian. He never was. Christianity came about after Jesus died. Jesus was a Jew. And the whole focus of his whole mission was to work through God's chosen people, his chosen nation. Because then that was the reality of what God had brought to the world. The light of his salvation, the glory is through his people Israel. He is the magnet that makes her great. And the promise of God that were to come all the way through the Old Testament, it points to Mashiach, to Messiah, the chosen one of God, the one who is to come. The reality of God being in the world. He is the one. To see Jesus is to see God's salvation. To see Jesus is to see God's light and revelation. What Luke has said here is also said in John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To see Jesus is to see God. And he himself said it. If you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. But the thing is, of course, Jesus, if he's not tangible, he's not visible around us now. So we can't really look in the face. But he is in the world, in us, his body. Paul, when he wrote to the church in Ephesus, says this: "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This means that in a real sense, we, yes, you and I, become little incarnations of Jesus Christ. We are called to be that light to the world around us. The reality is that we are called to exemplify Christ to everybody. Jesus spelled that out in the parable of the sheep and the goats. He challenged us. "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or oil or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." So Jesus is saying that service to those in need is service to Jesus himself. That is, as if he were still here, Jesus would be ministering to the type of people mentioned in the verse that I've just read to you. But now we minister in his place. We minister on his behalf. Isn't that an incredible honor? Isn't that an incredible privilege? Simeon, as he held that child, was now at peace. God had made him this incredible promise, and he was holding the child. "Let your servant now depart in peace." He was at peace. He'd met Jesus, and the details of the rest of his life, his resume, everything is irrelevant. St. Paul gives a similar testimony in Philippians 3. For him, everything else he has done in life is an accomplished, successful Pharisees. It's like garbage. Compared to knowing Jesus and serving him, one's walk with God and faithful servants to him are what defines everything else about life. Now, that service can take on various forms. For not everyone who serves God can be a preacher. Not everyone who serves God can be in full-time ministry. But like Simeon, what did we say about him? He was noted for being a righteous man. Doesn't tell us any more, really, about it. He just lived out what God wanted him to do in every situation that he was in. So we might be called to a special task of testimony or encouragement. We may be called to be one point of testimony where we work in the variety of things. Or those of us who are retired, we have more time to actually put into doing what God maybe wants us to do. It could be that we're called practically to do things, or it could be that we're called to just, and it's not a just actually, the reality is to a prayer ministry. Because that's not a just at all. It's really, really vital and really important for the body of Christ. So we need to really think through the reality of that. I don't know, in a few days' time, are you thinking about already your New Year's resolutions? You're not? You sure? Oh, okay, fair enough. Some of them are. There's a few smiles at the front down here that said they might be. The thing is, of course, New Year's resolutions are those things that you know very well that in a few days they're just going to fall off the track, aren't they? You're not really going to fill them out. The vast reality of them is that they're actually about us as individuals, you know. So you might be saying, oh, well, maybe I need to lose some weight. Or maybe I need to be getting fitter. Or maybe I shouldn't be drinking quite as much alcohol as I have been doing, and we ought to stop doing that, or whatever else it is that you've got on your agenda. I want to put a different look on it. Because those are very much self-centered. Maybe if you think a little bit about Joseph and Mary and Simeon. What they did was to live up to what God had called them to do. Joseph and Mary, obviously, were dutiful in their worship of God. Simeon, similarly, followed through on that basis. So maybe we think about our New Year's resolutions in what we could do for God. Maybe it could be something about spending more time in prayer. Or maybe it could be something about spending more time in Bible study or meditation. Or maybe it could be something to do with the call that was there that I read out in terms of the reality of reaching out to others. Being the light of Christ in the world that we are a part of. What's around us? Reaching out to touch people with the touch of Christ, because that's what he's called us to. Reflect on that as we head towards a new year. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity of looking at your word. And Lord, speak into our lives the reality of your love for us. But help us not to be selfish and keep it to ourselves, but to respond to your call and reach out with a hand to touch the lives of others. To the glory and praise of your name. Amen.